Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so very much for joining us. It is a real pleasure having you here on Close Up Radio today from all around the world. It is 11 a.m. Eastern. It's September 22nd, 2021. We hope you're having a great day. We're very excited to welcome John Lazar to the show. He is the founder and CEO of John B. Lazar & Associates, which is in Forest Park, Illinois. They specialize in leadership coaching and team development. Now, John's programs enable sustainable improvements in critical thinking, resilience, and leadership for individual and collective performance. Clients deliver more reliably on promised results by functioning and performing at higher levels, collaborating better, learning faster, and becoming more adaptive. All the things that you really need to do, and we've certainly needed to do in the last 18 months or so in our lives. At the heart of leadership truly is trust, and we've talked about that a lot on this series on Close Up Radio. People must rely on others, and to set up people for success, good leaders connect, they engage, they support, they empower, and they inspire their teams by trusting them. John has been a coach and performance improvement consultant since 1983, and he's been coaching CEOs, executives, senior managers, and emerging leaders since 1995. Now, prior to launching the company, John was a performance consultant with AT&T Network Systems, and it was there that he had developed his experience leading teams. He said he had to develop trust with his colleagues on the team who would be developing instructional materials. He also had to develop working relationships with the technical staff, even though he didn't have a background in telephony or electronics. He said he could do was really encourage them to talk about their challenges and ask good questions, listen well, and leverage their experience and expertise to guide everybody toward the best solution. He says, learning isn't an event. It's a process. Coaching enables a journey of developing self-reflection, self-awareness, insight, choice, and thoughtful experimentation. The website, if you'd like to learn more, and we'll mention it again during the course of the show, is www.jblacoaching.com. That's jblacoaching.com. Without further ado, let's welcome live and direct from Illinois our very special guest, John Lazar of John B. Lazar & Associates Incorporated. John, welcome to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Jim, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
You are very, very welcome. Yeah, this is part one of a two-part series I want to mention for the audience as well. So you're with us today, and then you'll be with us continuing with part two next week, same time, 11 a.m. Eastern on the 29th of September, and we look forward to that. Usually I like to humanize the guests and make them relatable to the audience right at the outset, John, and I love to find out what inspires people, what gets them to do what they do and select the things that they do in life. So for you, what are some of those things in your own life's journey, those inspirations that kind of pointed you in the direction of wanting to be involved in coaching and helping others and mentoring others in the way that you do? What are some of those trigger moments in your life? Because obviously, this is in your DNA. It's not work that you just want to do. It's work that you're called to do. You have to do this kind of work.
Yeah, that's a great question. And for me, Jim, there was a specific event that seemed to set me off in a different kind of a direction. Back in the late 60s, while I was in the Navy, I was stationed in Key West, Florida. And while I was down there, so I was lucky enough to not be sent over to be on site during the Vietnam War. I was, but I was still in the Navy at the time. While I was there, and while I was off duty and sunning one day down on South Beach, I met a gentleman. His name was Lyle, elderly gentleman, 40 years older than me. And we got to talking and had very interesting conversation. And conversation led to other things, like further conversations. And over time, Lyle befriended me. And what was relevant and interesting to me, Jim, was that at that point in my life, while I was in the Navy down there, I was having my own personal challenges, and I was not a terribly good friend to myself. And so the fact that Lyle took an interest in me and seemed to be a genuine interest in me was significant to me. It made a profound difference to me. And so when I got out of the Navy, as I was approaching my time to complete my tour of service and go back to the civilian world, and I was reflecting on what the heck I was going to do, the one thing that was just profoundly present for me was this connection that Lyle had made for me and what a difference that had made. And I made a private declaration. So this is like more than 50 years ago. I made a private declaration that when I got out, I was going to go back to school. I was going to get my degree. And I was going to do something with my life where I could make a difference for other people, support them in realizing their possibilities, elevate what their best self could be. And that's what I've been doing for more than 50 years. It's taken different forms over the years because I went back to school, got a degree in psychology, went to graduate school, got a master's degree, had a psychotherapy practice, worked with severely profoundly handicapped kids, and then changed careers in the early 80s to solving human performance problems in organizations. And it was always about supporting people and making their own lives better.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it's about. And it's, you know, you're living your bliss having an opportunity to do that. And let's talk about some of the work that you do at the company. You know, there's lots of different kinds and styles and methodologies when it comes to coaching. What makes what you do unique and stand out? And tell us about some of the actual work that you do, John.
Okay, so when I changed careers in the early 80s, one of the things that had me move in that direction was a person that I met in the late 70s who belonged to a professional organization that interested me because it was about performance improvement and it was about being empirically based and data-driven and research-oriented, so it wasn't fad du jour kinds of stuff. And so even before I changed careers in 83 and 81, I joined this organization, the National Society for Programmed Instruction, NSPI, at that time, and wanted to learn about that and become an effective practitioner in that. So I did a lot of work over the years to become an effective performance improvement consultant. Now, that's independent of the things that I've done to become an effective coach. And so one of the things that I consider unique about myself is that I bring this systemic and systematic approach to understanding people in context and performance as having many different factors that contributed to it being effective or not. And so I think that by taking that more systems approach, I bring a more holistic view of my clients and the circumstances that they find themselves in. And while I love coaching, my passion is coaching, I don't for a moment believe that coaching is the answer to everything. It's an important answer, a very influential answer, and it's a force multiplier when used with other kinds of interventions, but it's not the only tool that I have in my toolkit. The leadership and executive coaching work that I do, I try to bring that same holistic approach to understanding my clients and the challenges that they're dealing with. And oftentimes, and perhaps you found this, Jim, in interviewing other coaches along the way, that the presenting problem, the initial issue to work on, shifts. Starts out looking under this street lamp, and you end up looking under three others, as you get a clearer view of exactly what's going on. So part of the issue is coming to better understand, like, you know, what's our destination? What is success going to look like? And then what's going to contribute to that? And along the way, what's going to enable that? And are there things either in the environment or within the individual that may be roadblocks or headwinds, if you will? And what can we do to shift those and to mitigate those? So I'm working with a relatively new client right now, and if you're asking for an illustration, with a relatively new client right now, and it started out, just give us a couple hours of team building. We're going to finally have an in-person meeting, and give us some team building. And I said, okay, you want team building, please understand that 2 hours of team building or a team building conversation is not going to get the job done. They said, we understand that, so maybe we need quarterly meetings to debrief on things. I said, okay, well, I appreciate you taking a longer perspective, but I don't think that's going to get the job done. So we had to talk further, and we're still, in fact, talking, even though we're in gear, about what the destination actually is. And along the way, what's happened is that team building has expanded to include leadership development for the leadership team. And it's also on the verge of, though I don't know exactly where it's going to go, that part of that leadership development is going to include culture change. Because what the CEO and the leadership team are speaking for is fundamentally shifting what the key values are of the organization and what game they're playing and how they're going about it. And that's at the heart of culture change. So you kind of get a sense how what the focal point has shifted. There's still a piece about team building, but now leadership recognizes that they can't just say, okay, go fix them, just fix that team. We gotta elevate our game as leaders to enable them to be successful. And along the way, we're also discovering that how we're currently set up may not be optimal for where we want to go and how we want to get there. And so there's, in any of the work that I do, there's a place for having structure. We know that we're moving in this direction. We know that the nature of the conversations that we're going to have tend to take these forms. And also a place for emergence, because we can't really predict exactly where the conversation is going to go. And we have to allow for that. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit paradoxical and a little bit creative. And it actually becomes a co-creation between the client and the coach. Does that give you a little bit of a flavor for some of what's cooking in my world?
Yeah, it really does. And I like the co-creation terminology. I like the use of that because it really is. It is, I mean, you can dispense all of the wisdom and the information and the resources and the tools, but it is a co-creation. The client, the person on the receiving end needs to also step up to the plate and really want to participate because they're making an investment in themselves and
That's
their own
right.
life, which is the greatest investment you could ever make, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, that I really want to underscore what you just said, Jim, because part of what comes out of coaching, one of the things that's not necessarily talked about that often in coaching is the piece around personal responsibility. That invariably what happens as a result of the coaching process is that the client ups their game in how they view themselves and others and their relationship to the world, in which they're playing a larger game and truing themselves up to the things that really matter to them. They're taking on a greater mantle of personal responsibility. And how it shows up is in terms of accountability. What can you mentioned in the introduction, you mentioned the piece around trust. And so the piece about what can I trust you for? And even more importantly, and that precedes that, what can I trust myself for, is at the heart of that. And invariably, it fosters taking a hard look at oneself, at going spelunking to get to know oneself, and what one's values are, and what really matters, and taking a look at our habits and how much those habits still serve us at this point in our life with these commitments and these circumstances, and seeing where there's a gap that's worth recognizing and doing something about. My colleague and friend Joe Slater talks about the importance and the courage of being able to have cringeworthy conversations. And some of those conversations where one has to, in essence, confront oneself. Just like what's true here?
Mm-hmm.
And then use that as a starting point.
Exactly. You know, when some people, when they hear about coaching, they immediately think of things like a sports coach. Rah, 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 let's go, you know, pull up the bootstraps, come on, let's go, let's move it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a difference. Tell us about the difference between the kind of coaching you do, and there might be some elements that blend, but
yeah.
The differences between, you know, the kind of coaching you're talking about, leadership coaching, from a sports coach or other kind of coach.
Sure. So I think you hit the nail on the head, Jim. There are both similarities and differences. So what are the similarities? I certainly think that both kinds of coaching, have a motivational element to them. You really want the person that you're working with enthusiastic and engaged and willing to give discretionary effort and to persist, because the learning that we're doing, whether it's in a sport or it's in the sport called leadership, that's a longer game. That isn't take a pill and be done, right? So that's a long game. That's a long game piece. But beyond that, sports coaches have the benefit of being able to work real time with their clients most often. So they're with them physically. They're observing them directly. They're able to offer encouragement and correction very much on the spot. That's not the case with leadership coaching, or it's seldom the case with leadership coaching. With leadership coaching, if you're lucky, maybe you have an opportunity or you can design in opportunities to observe. But most of the time, you're working one-off, which is to say you're working with your client, and the client is providing a narrative about what happened and the sense they made of it. So you're not dealing with the experience. You're dealing with their remembrance and their interpretation of the experience. That's a profound difference. I think another difference is, and it's perhaps a matter of degree, is that certainly in sports coaching, but also in leadership coaching, it makes sense to talk about an inner game and an outer game. So you've probably heard interviews with sports figures, and you get a sense of the kind of mental attitude that they have to have and the kind of fortitude that they have to have to deal with adversity. And like, this didn't happen to work out, or you know, we lost this game, but now we get to learn from it and move forward towards the next game. So there's that inner game, like, how am I thinking about things? How resilient am I? How am I making sense of things? What's my mindset? That's something similar to what we need to do when we're doing leadership coaching. Because people have biases, people have assumptions and beliefs, people have mindsets, and all of that is there before anybody behaves. That's the background and the backdrop for the behavior. So getting that right, getting that appropriately oriented and aligned on behalf of what we're trying to accomplish, that takes something. And then there's the actual in-the-world behavior, the ways that we engage with each other. And how we're able to dance in a conversation, dance in an interaction with somebody, rather than being hardwired and prescriptive, and it's got to look this way. Let me just stop there and find out if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. It completely does, and I think it's important for people to let that sink in a little bit. Then there's breakthroughs, which are incredible. And
mm-hmm.
What does a breakthrough feel like, in a one-on-one coaching for you and for the person being coached? That must be, the breakthrough must be extraordinary. You see these aha moments before your eyes.
Yeah, I was laughing when you asked the question, Jim, because for me, like, what happens for me when I'm in the conversation with the client and they're having that particular aha moment is I get chills. I get chills up and down my spine. And I'm just, like, so damn pleased for them. And in truth, that's not the whole story. Because a breakthrough, an aha moment, as good as it feels, as illuminating as it might be of what the path ahead is, however necessary it might be, it's not sufficient for the game that we're playing. So in other words, so it's great to have that aha moment, and now the question is, okay, what are you going to do with that? Given the new perspective, given the new point of view, the new interpretation that you have, what else changes? How are you making sense differently? And what does that mean in terms of different choices? What does that mean in terms of how the expression of your values may change. Mm-hmm. So the aha is the inner piece, that inner game piece that we were just talking about. But now we still need the outer game manifestation of it.
Right, exactly.
Which is to say, because in leadership and in other things, this is a longer game. It's about being on the practice field of your life and practicing new things to get proficient in it, replacing old habits with new habits. And so the breakthrough for me, for the person, for my client, is not only that they had the aha moment, but they leveraged the heck out of that aha moment, which is to say they took on for themselves the responsibility of practicing to build new practices that could become new habits, so that over the long haul they can see what that return on investment is for them and for those around them. Does that make sense? So it's not there's certainly an in the moment aspect of this, like, oh wow, isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, so.
But that can't be the whole thing. It's got to be about doing something good with that, so that you get better. It's about making yourself better.
Exactly. There's a continued maintenance to it all. There's a longevity to it all.
Really? Absolutely.
Not just the thrill of the excitement of the moment. And all of it, again, stemming on the trust. I mean, you create an environment where they feel comfortable and safe because they might be emoting and telling you things that they have never, you know, shared even with their closest confidants, loved ones, friends. And that's a great place to start, which I think is really terrific.
One thing I would say in support of what you're just pointing at, Jim, is that the coaching relationship is unlike any other relationship that a person will find themselves in. And what distinguishes it is two things. Number one is that the coach is only there because they were invited. Mm-hmm. And number two, the only reason the coach is there is in support of the client's agenda. Mm-hmm. So the coach isn't there to work their own stuff with the client or to work their own stuff at the expense of the client. It's they are there to be an enabler and a support for the client growing and realizing their aspirations. They are to do that, they have to show up a certain way. They have to listen a certain way. They have to be non-judgmental in a certain way. They have to invite and encourage in particular kinds of ways to create the trusting relationship that you were talking about, and to allow the client to give themselves permission to go deep without fear of judgment.
Exactly.
That doesn't happen anywhere else, as best as I can tell.
It really doesn't. No. This is a great conversation. I want to let the audience know it's going to continue because you'll be back on Wednesday, September 29th at 11 a.m. Eastern for part two of our exclusive close-up series. And if folks would like to learn more, they can go to the website www.jblacoaching.com. That's jblacoaching.com. Our very special guest, John Lazar of John B. Lazar & Associates Incorporated. John, really a terrific conversation, and we're just starting to scratch the surface here, and we look forward to the continuation with part two next week. Thanks so much for joining me and really sharing all of your wisdom and your technique with us here on the show. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure being with you, and I hope that out of our conversations that this provokes some curiosity and some interest and on people's parts to want to go deeper for themselves, to take on elevating their game, and doing that with others better and better together. So thank you for the opportunity, Jim.
You are very welcome. You are very welcome, John. Again, I encourage folks to go to the website, jblacoaching.com. Our very special guest, John Lazar of John B. Lazar & Associates Incorporated, specializing in leadership coaching and team development. He's been doing this for years. He loves what he does, and I encourage you to connect with him. He will be back for part two next week, right here exclusively on Close Up Radio, and we invite you to join us for that as well. And this episode is recorded in its entirety, so you can hear it again in the archives and share the links with those you think who would benefit from this conversation. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, I invite you to stay right there. I will be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest, celebrated right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, thanks for being with us, and have a terrific day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.